faithful. These words can pierce the most troubling, the most difficult, the most lonely, the most painful hours, minutes, and seconds of the darkest night. Those times that are often called the dark night of the soul. The dark night of the soul, a term coined by the 16th century Roman Catholic mystic poet and saint called John of the Cross. The idea is a simple one, but it's one that really isn't in tune with the watered-down, whitewashed, simplified McDonald's-era cafeteria-style Christianity of the United States in the 21st century. The idea is a simple one, but it's not one that we really want to hear. We're used to trying to drown out the difficulties of life. We're used to trying to soothe out the problems with a bottle of ibuprofen or some other kind of harder drugs. We try to escape the pain. We try to escape the difficulties. We don't want to go through them. We want to go around them. We don't want to deal with the scary things, with the dark things, with that dark core or center or part of us that is so very frightening. We'd rather go around it. We'd rather pretend it's not there. We'd rather ignore it or skip over it rather than face it head on with eyes open wide. We would rather escape the dark night of the soul. As one grows spiritually, John of the Cross said, as one grows spiritually toward God, and away from the importance of the self, and away from the preeminence of the me, myself, and I, as one grows toward God and away from self-centeredness, it is then that we experience, it is then that we discover, it is then that we then live through pain, fear, sorrow, loss. Huh? You would think that as you approach God, as you grow spiritually toward the Creator, that you would grow into lightness, into love, into joy, into peace. And it is true that as you grow towards God, as you grow in Christ Jesus, you do these things, but you also discover, if you are honest, if you are open-minded and open-eyed and open-hearted, if you are honest with yourself, you will see that in the deep-centered core of your existence, there is something dark and scary. There is sin. There is the desire to have it your own way. There is fear of death. There is broken relationships and broken lives and broken families and broken hearts. There's something dark. And as you grow towards the light, you cannot help but see the shadows, see the darkness, see and experience the pain. If you're open to what the Holy Spirit is doing as you grow toward God, as you grow in love and loyalty to Jesus Christ, as you grow in faith, as you grow in grace, you are also going to become more aware of how far you are from God's will for you, of how far you've gone astray, of how deep the well of sin and evil can be inside you, of how dark we can be inside. It's not something we want to experience. It's not something we want to look at. It's something we want to run from. It's something that we want to try to escape from. We don't want to face the darkness in the midnight hours of our lives. At midnight and at 1 o'clock and at 2 o'clock in the morning, we lay awake at night fretting and worrying and troubled, mourning the loss of loved ones, mourning friends, worrying about health, worrying about family. What am I going to do with my mother? What am I going to do with my son? What am I going to do about the IRS? What am I going to do? We'll stay awake late, hurting. And in those moments when we feel we are facing the darkness truthfully and honestly, in those moments when we're struggling with these deep inner fears and hurts and pains, in those moments, it can be tempting to realize and to feel and to suspect and to be afraid that God's not there. I mean, early on in the Christian life, God gives us wonderful experiences, mountaintop highs, when we sing joyous praise and thanksgiving, and when it's so easy to say, praise God. But then, the dark night of the soul descends upon us. We enter into a time of spiritual crisis. That's what the dark night of the soul is. It's a time of spiritual crisis in which we come face to face with the very reason why Jesus had to come and die. We come face to face with the old man of sin within. We come face to face with our own inadequacy. We come face to face with the reality of our own mortality. We come face to face with pain and fear and death. And we don't like it. And when we come face to face and we realize it, it's in those moments sometimes it can feel as though God's not there. It was easy to say, praise God, in the happy times. It's not so easy to say, praise God, in the hard times, in the dark night of the soul. One of the 20th century saints of the church, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. She was the hands and feet and lips of God. She spoke the gospel and lived the gospel in ministries of compassion and justice in the third world, calling forth those who have the heart of Christ to reach out with the love of God to all. She was a living embodiment of the love of God. And yet in her own private letters to friends and family, going all the way back to the 1940s, it has been discovered that in her own private correspondences, she doubted her own salvation. She would go day after day and week after week, going through the motions of what it meant to be a Christian, living the life that she knew God had called her to live, but doubting whether or not she herself would ever experience the joys of glory, whether she herself would ever get to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The dark night of the soul is something that Mother Teresa knew about. Awake late at night, wondering, worrying, can I possibly be forgiven? The dark night of the soul. It's a time of spiritual crisis, and all of us face it. Well, I don't want to admit that, Greg. Once I became a Christian, everything was sweetness and light, and there were no problems at all. Oh, really? Oh, it can be tempting to make the claim. But in truth, if we are truly open to the grace of God, if we are truly open to the light of God, we discover in the midst of the light, in the midst of the grace, that we are in desperate need of both light and grace. We are in desperate need of the love of God. And if we are truly honest with ourselves, we have to admit we don't deserve it. And guess what? Because we don't deserve it that we need it. It's because we don't deserve it that Jesus gives it. But it's in those moments that it can feel as though we're alone. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that in the journey through the dark night of the soul, we don't make it alone. In the journey through the dark night of the soul, the good news is that God is faithful. God is faithful. That God came in Jesus of Nazareth to live a life with us, to teach us about the love of God by healing, by teaching, by transforming broken and hurting lives. And then by going to the cross for us, He faces for us and before us and with us our dark nights. God in Jesus Christ is faithful to us in love, even when we don't feel His presence. What do you do about those people, Greg, who beg and beg and beg for forgiveness, who beg and beg and beg for deliverance, who beg and beg and beg, and then they don't seem to receive it? I mean, we have a promise here in Scripture. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tested beyond your strength, but with the testing, He will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. Oh, that's easy for Paul to say, but he doesn't know what we're facing. He doesn't know what I'm facing. Oh, really? There's no sin. There's no temptation. There's no trap. There's no fear. There's no pain. There's no loss that you face that somebody else hasn't faced too. There's no sin. There's no temptation. There's no pain. There's no fear. There's no loss. There's no desire that you face that someone else has not faced also, or will face again in the future. And there's no sin, there's no pain, there's no fear, there's no failure, there's no disaster, there's no loss, there's no hurt that Jesus did not bear on the cross for you. He bore it for you, before you, and with you. He bears your dark night, your pain, your fear, your anguish, your loss. For, before, and with you. That means that those who appear to be crushed by their dark night before the daybreak, those who appear to be rolled over by the pain and the anguish to the point that they never seem to have deliverance, we cannot be sure that even in the last instance of their life, they didn't come to know the grace of God. We cannot be sure that in that last instant burst forth from them faith and they experienced the blessing of God. My brothers and sisters, the dark night of the soul can be oppressive, can be destructive, but it's also an experience we must go through. Sitting in the monastery in Cambridge, Massachusetts, in prayer at the retreat, I came to realize that the dark night of the soul, the fears and the pains and the anguishes, the inadequacies, the realization of sin that was brought to my attention in my life again and again, the dark night of the soul descended upon me in this retreat because I became aware of how much I needed Jesus. And what I kept coming back to again and again in the retreat, what I kept coming back to is what I had prepared to preach today. God prepared the way ahead of time for me by preparing me with this message for you today, knowing what I would encounter on my retreat and immediately thereafter. That God is faithful. We're so busy talking about our faith in Jesus Christ, our faith of God. But what about the faith of Jesus Christ? And what about God's faith? Jesus, He went to a garden to pray prior to being arrested. He knew he was going to be arrested, and he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." He brought some of his very best friends with him, expecting that they would pray with him. And you know what they did? They fell asleep. And then they abandoned him in fear. He prayed, "Not my will, but yours." And then he died. He gave himself up and died for us all. He wept tears of blood. And then he gave himself up and he died. Because God is faithful. And he knew, and I know I'm not supposed to say this during Lent, but he knew that if he would give himself up as a sacrifice for the world, the Father would raise him from the dead, because God is faithful. And that's exactly what happened. God is faithful. And he sees us through the dark nights, even when we can't feel him, even when we can't experience him, even when we look and look and look and look and look for him and we can't see him, can't feel him, can't experience him. We can say by faith, God is faithful. He will not tempt us. He will not try us. He will not test us beyond what we're able. Trust in him, and he will see you through. Oh, that's easy to say. That was easy for Paul to say. He didn't know any trouble. Oh, really? Paul had his own dark night of the soul. He tells us about it elsewhere in his letters. He tells us about a messenger of Satan who was sent to torment him, to keep him from being too elated in Jesus Christ. This messenger of Satan that he calls a thorn in the flesh was really a voice that was saying to him, "Look, you persecuted the church. You're never going to be forgiven. You can preach Jesus all you want. Because you persecuted the church, you held the coats for those who stoned Stephen, you rounded Christians up in Jerusalem to stand trial, you went off to Damascus to arrest a whole bunch. Because you persecuted the church, Jesus is never going to forgive you, and you're going to go to hell." That's what the voice was saying to him. And so Paul begged and pleaded with God, "Please relieve me of this thorn in the flesh. Please take away this messenger of Satan who's telling me that Jesus won't save me." And the thorn was not taken away. Instead, Jesus said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So Paul had to put up with that voice, that doubt, that messenger of Satan, that thorn in the flesh which was whispering continually to him, "You're never going to be forgiven. You can't be trusted. Jesus is not going to save you. You can preach about him all you like. You're going to go to hell. Doesn't matter. You might as well quit." He had to listen to that voice and then ignore it, deny it, have faith in Jesus, and accept the grace of Jesus, which was and is sufficient for him and for us. So Paul knew about dark nights of the soul. Paul knew about dark nights of the soul, and he knew how dangerous they could be. And he also knew the only way out is through Jesus. The only way out is through faith, the faith of Christ Jesus, and faith in him. The only way out is through a God who is faithful. We serve a God who is faithful to us, who is trustworthy, who is dependable, who does what he says. And he promises us a way out, if only we'll look and receive it. Now, that doesn't mean we get around it. Doesn't mean we get relieved of it. Doesn't mean we don't have to go through the dark nights. Doesn't mean we don't have to lay awake at 1 and 2 and 3 in the morning. struggling with our faith and struggling with the pain and struggling with the anguish, it doesn't mean we get to have life as a bed of roses. We still go through it. We still have to face death. We still have to face the loss of loved ones. We still have to face our sin. And through God's grace, because God is faithful, go through it and on into that light, the beautiful light of the love of God. In Lent, my brothers and sisters, I challenge us to face our dark night of the soul, to face the fears and the pains and the anguishes, not to turn from them, not to run from them, not to pretend they're not there, but to face them head on and realize that no matter how hard it gets or how alone you may feel, God is faithful. He is there. He is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you, and He will see you through. God is faithful. If you can remember that and hang on to that promise, God is faithful. If you can remember that and proclaim that, and when you are in the darkest night, say it, God is faithful. If you can do that, you'll make it through your dark night and into the glorious day of the grace of God. God is faithful. Say that with me. God is faithful. Again, God is faithful. One more time. God is faithful. He is. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of Northgate United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2013 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at Northgate United Methodist Church, 3700 West Northgate Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. This program was produced by Dr. Gregory Neal.